The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island, and welcome to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. Well, my guests today include my friend and colleague, DDI Training Administrator Chris Brady, and Juliana Featherman. Juliana's ingenious app, Making Authentic Friendships, has been designed to help people with any disability or special need find new friends. It was inspired by someone near and dear to her heart, Juliana's 21-year-old brother, Michael Andrew Featherman. In fact, the app shares the same initials as her 21-year-old brother, obviously MAF, who has high-functioning autism and ADHD. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
You know, let me begin with you, Chris, if I may. Chris, because Chris, I've asked you to come to the show today, and thank you for making the time, because I think you first saw an article or a promo. Was that on the patch?
Yeah, I came across this article on one of the local patches, and really caught my attention, because it's something that, you know, I do feel working where we're involved. It's a challenge for people to really make solid connections, and sometimes typical social media platforms might be a little overwhelming in some cases. And I thought this was a very novel idea that really can help bring people who have these needs and these desires to communicate together.
So this becomes essentially, and Juliana, I assume you would agree, an alternative to traditional social networking sites. Let's talk about your inspiration for that, how you got involved, and a little bit about the work itself. Is it beginning to gain traction? So from the very beginning, how did this come about?
So it's a very interesting story. I was in college, junior at Sacred Heart University, and I was the president of the autism club there. And obviously, I'm so passionate about this because of my brother, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life at the time. So I couldn't imagine doing anything but being the president of the autism club. And so I figured there had to be a way I could kind of do that in real life. So I started thinking through things my brother was lacking in his life, and I decided that once I figured out something he was lacking, I would make a business around it. And I was like, okay, seems easy enough. So I spent a long time thinking about it, and one day it came to me that he doesn't have any friends, and there's got to be a way I can kind of foster that, and there's got to be people that live close to us that are in the same boat as him. And it's especially hard once you're an adult and you're out of the district. He is lucky enough to work at a place that employs people on the spectrum, but some people aren't. And even with that, he doesn't really have a lot of friends. So I was like, okay, we need a means to find these people.
May I ask, where is your brother working? What does he do?
He works at Spectrum Designs Foundation. It's in Port Washington, and they are a nonprofit that does t-shirt printing, mm-hmm. As well as they have bakes, they make granola bars, and suds, where they have a laundry service.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that, because certainly DDI is championed and is very much invested in community outreach, and particularly vocational outreach, where the entire community of job providers are more welcoming of our population. So when I hear of a match like that with your brother, it's really very inspiring. And it tells again and again and again that those matches can be made and can be very successful. So let's circle back to this effort, MAF. The inspiration is your love and your investment and devotion to your brother. What were some of the... what was some of the strategy that you had, like, in terms of launching this, and what was your vision for? Let's get a little more about what is it exactly? What does this look like?
So basically, obviously, from like day one to now, a lot has changed with what I wanted it to do, its capabilities and everything. And a lot of being an entrepreneur is pivoting, they say. So really having one idea and then something else comes up, or a competition, then you have to change it. Mm-hmm. So that's happened a lot along the way. But what it is really is I developed it. Well, I didn't develop it. My team developed it in order to work like a game. And it's developed also very... kind of like a child's app would be. Mm-hmm. So big buttons, lots of colors, not really anything you have to type. It's all like drop down menus. And we did that because we want it to be accessible to a variety of ability levels. So we want it to be really easy to use, super self-explanatory. And as for the game, so we're matching people based on their age, diagnosis, interests, and geographic location. Those are the main things. So as you sign up, we're obviously going to be asking for those things. I should mention that the app, as it is now, does start at age 13 due to child protective laws. Mm-hmm. But it's from age 13 to any age. So we do have users who are like in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And then we do have users who are 14, 15, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's important. And I think our listeners are going to want to know, as I do, what kind of safeguards are you able to put in place to ensure that the people who sign up are who they say they are? And the opposite side of that concern, which would be how do you protect, for the people who really are who they are, how do you protect or do you even attempt to protect their privacy? Because I imagine that's very challenging.
Yeah, that has absolutely been one of my biggest challenges in doing this. And I've been working on this for 3 years now. And we just launched 3 months ago, the web app. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why I waited so long, because there's challenges like these. And of course, safety is our number one concern, as well as like the parents and the users. It's very important, of course. And it is a naive population, so it is a little bit harder. So right now it's beta, so it's its first version, and things we change literally every day on it. But right now, when you sign up, you have to sign the terms and conditions, obviously, that say you are who you say you are, and if you're not, you can be punished to the fullest extent of the law. And also, when you get into the app, so you're going to see people on the map, and you can chat with people at that point. And when you chat with people, certain words, phrases, anything inappropriate or bad words, threatening words, sure, are sure, all banned, so you can't even type them. Like, if you type them, it like blocks it out. As well as we monitor it from the back end, so if there is something that seems sketchy or, you know, bad in any way, then we, like, the app will actually like tell us, the developers and myself, and we would get flagged for that, and at that point we could go in and then investigate, see what's going on. And at the same time, the other user, whoever's chatting the person, can report it. Mm-hmm. So if we miss it or whatever happens, or they feel threatened in some way or uncomfortable, then that other user can then report it to administration, and then that would just get locked, and then we would then do the same thing, investigate, see if there's any, you know, anything bad going on.
You know, sure. Chris, I would ask you this. Wouldn't you agree that these, in all fairness, these same challenges and concerns around privacy and the kind of safeguards that we're looking for are issues on all the social networking sites? It's not that this is unique to what you're trying to do, so I'm not sure that anybody's fully solved for this, and it's almost next to impossible, I think, to dot all those I's. And I wouldn't want that to be the reason that this doesn't go forward.
Yeah, you oftentimes see in social media the concept of fake profiles, if you're looking on even things like dating apps, the concept of catfishing, you know, those are very real concerns, because, you know, one of the challenges is you never actually do know who you're speaking with. So I like that you have all those safeguards kind of built in and really allow for people to, you know, understand and also have a system to block anything that is threatening or derogatory or just even just not in good taste to really say to another person.
So say we get past this particular hurdle, and I think we will, and now you have somebody who wants to participate and who has revealed in some ways their identity, but now also has to kind of establish an online identity. And from what I was reading about this, that could be in the way of an avatar.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
So that kind of goes into the game aspect of things. So I didn't want it to be just words on a page. I didn't feel that would be meaningful to a lot of people. So I wanted it to be more fun and interactive. So I decided to make it so that during the sign-up process, not only can you upload a photo of yourself, but you can also create an avatar. And it would be much like a Bitmoji on your phone. Mm-hmm. You pick the hair color, eye color, skin color, clothing, all of that. And you could make it look like yourself or even not, whatever you want to do. But it's just a fun little aspect. So then on the map, you'll actually, there's like little droppers, like Google Place droppers, where you could see all the users. And then you just put your mouse over it, and then it pops up a little box. You see their little avatar, their name, their gender, and some of their interests. And then at that point, you would decide if you want to chat with them or not.
Nice. So you essentially build on a basic identity, but you're also offering ways for that person to become extremely comfortable in what should be a fun space. You even talk about fun spots.
Yes. So that kind of goes along with the sign-up process. Not only do we ask about interests of the user, so things that they like to do or like sports, TV, movies, whatever it may be, but we also ask things that they would like to do with a friend. So that could be like go bowling, go out to eat, go to the movie theater. And then at that point, we don't do that right now, actually match them with a place. But in the future, when we actually develop the app, we do plan to match them with a place. So if my brother and someone nearby us matched up, we would suggest to them a nearby bowling alley or a nearby movie theater, depending on what they picked as something that they would like to do.
Well, it's exactly where I want to start. We're just going to break for just a moment. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. We're going to continue our conversation about how to make authentic friendships online if you're a high-functioning person or other with a disability or autism. Stay with us.